Nick DiGilio here. Hi, everybody. Monday morning movie reviews. That's what they are now, and we're going to combine that with a box office report as well. And we shift over from Saturday nights into Monday mornings with Eric Childress and Colin Suter from eFilmCritic.com. Every Monday morning, we will do movie reviews and combine it with a box office report. And we always welcome Eric and Colin to the show. Eric, how are you?
Hello.
All right. Good. Colin, how are you?
Good.
Welcome to Monday mornings.
Oh, my God. Is that where we are?
Yeah. So
that's why it feels like this. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Okay. You know what? Since this is a we're doing this on a weekday morning now, we should probably introduce you guys a little bit. Maybe some of the people who didn't listen on the weekends. Eric, tell everybody a little bit about your background. You guys both write for eFilmCritic.com, but you got other stuff going on. So Eric, tell everybody about yourself.
Well, I mean, we're doing stuff with for you now, believe it or not, for 15 years.
Wow.
Crazy enough. I mean, I started doing stuff for Jonathan Brandmeier back in the day, and that's how we ended up meeting.
Yeah.
And since then, I mean, I've been writing for eFilmCritic.com. I'm the awards correspondent or columnist right now for RogerEbert.com. Should have a piece probably going up tomorrow about the state of the awards race. I've been doing television for last 3.5 years for WCIU's First Business, doing box office
stuff, so, which is what we're going to be doing on Monday, as well as movie reviews.
Yeah, I'm transferring over.
There you go. And then Colin is Colin. You're not only just a film critic, but you are also a filmmaker.
Correct. Yeah. Done a couple documentaries and a few short films, which you can find online if you just look up my name, Colin Suter, C-O-L-L-I-N. Suter is spelled S-O-U-T-E-R, and you can find some of my short films and documentaries online. I've been calling into your show for about 14 years now, and I'm also a columnist at RogerEbert.com. Every month I write about a short film, usually the first Tuesday of every month. There's a new article up about a short film of my choosing. This last week just posted an article about a classic holiday short film called Franz Kafka's It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
Judy Grant, which is an amazing movie. So I've been doing the filmmaking for about, I've lost track now, about almost 10 years. And then the film critic stuff, about 14 years, as long as I've been doing your show.
Right.
And I also do weddings.
There you go. Yes, he does. He's videotapes weddings, by the way, for those of you who are getting married. Multihead Productions is the is it multihead.com?
Multihead Productions is my filmmaking website. Multihead Wedding is my wedding website.
Okay. All right. If you're looking to get a wedding videotaped, he videotaped one of mine. And the video turned out better than the actual marriage. So
thank you.
All right, guys, welcome to Monday mornings. It's kind of a light week, actually.
Yeah, light.
In terms of movie reviews. So let's talk a little bit about the box office before we get into this. Eric, talk a little bit about how bad the box office was this week.
Well, I mean, it's the post-Thanksgiving weekend, and that's always just a comedown. And it seems like more of a comedown this year, because the two movies that opened over Thanksgiving, Penguins of Madagascar and Horrible Bosses 2, were kind of weak over the holiday. So the numbers this week even look even more paltry.
Yeah, I'm looking at this, and there's a list of the post-Thanksgiving openers that go back to 1989 on this list.
Yeah.
Let's see. The Last Samurai, Behind Enemy Lines, Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered. I actually like that movie.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah. Honey. Wow. Eon Flux, Christmas Vacation, Analyze That, The Distinguished Gentleman. God, The Distinguished Gentleman.
Yeah. Great.
Wow. Let's see, Killing Them Softly, Punisher War Zone, Out of the Furnace. Yeah, not great titles.
No, and very few of those actually opened over $10 million, too. I mean, I think Last Samurai was the top one there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so that you had one basically new wide. It wasn't even a wide opener. It was this horror film from Fox called The Pyramid that they didn't even put into 600 theaters, and it showed. It barely made the top 10. $1.3 million. Nobody saw it.
Yeah, nobody went. I didn't see it.
Nope. Neither did we.
Yeah. The Hunger Games: Mockingjay Part 1 was on top again at $21.6 million, bringing its total to almost $58 million. Not a surprise there.
No.
Penguins of Madagascar. How long has that been open? 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
$49 million in two weeks. Yeah, no, that's not very good.
No.
Horrible Bosses 2 comes in at third with $8.6 million, bringing its total up to $36 million as well. How much did the first one make?
Over $120 million.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, it was a big summer hit that year.
Wow. So yeah. this is turning out to be really disappointing then.
Very much so.
Wow. Oh, I didn't know the first one made that much money.
Yeah, big hit. Surprise hit that summer.
Okay. Number four, Big Hero 6, $8.1 million. Its total is at $177 million. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Interstellar with $8 million over the weekend with $158.6 million total. Does that seem low or high or what?
It seems low in the U.S., but you factor in the overseas numbers and you're talking around $600 million right now.
Wow.
So Interstellar is doing just fine.
Good.
For them.
Good.
Yeah. And plus, it's a 3-hour movie, so they can't get as many show times in.
That's
so
true.
I would say $158 million for 4 weeks. I think that's pretty damn good.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, staying in the top five for this long, too, that suggests, word of mouth is out there.
Yeah.
And I just think that it didn't open as well as some people expected it to, and that's why the number seems a little bit lower.
Okay.
But that's, overall, it's a hit.
And it deservedly so. What was really funny, I was talking with Dan tonight on the way in, and I was talking about how there was a phenomenon last year in my favorite movies of the year where there were a lot of one-word title movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what? And the same thing's happening this year.
Oh, yeah.
And it's so weird because, like, my favorite film last year was a one-word titled movie about space.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same thing that's happening this year.
Yeah.
And if you look at it, you got Birdman, one word title.
Yep.
Whiplash, one word title. And these are the best films of the year.
Yeah. And you can go on. Interstellar, Boyhood.
Boyhood,
A number of films out there.
That's right. All right. Well, listen, coming in at number six is Dumb and Dumber 2. Now, that's got to be considered a disappointment as well.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I think people are feeling a little better about that movie after seeing Horrible Bosses 2. At least they should be.
Mm-hmm.
The first one, did $127 million back in '94. So, I mean,
well, and that was absolutely during the giant heyday of Jim Carrey.
Well, that was the Jim Carrey coming out party that year. I mean, that was that and Ace Ventura and The Mask.
Yeah.
So that was a hell of a year for him.
Yeah.
And, 20 years later, the allure is not quite there as much, unfortunately. But Dumb and Dumber 2 is going to be a minor hit for Universal.
Okay.
Wasn't very expensive.
Coming in at number seven is The Theory of Everything, $2.6 million. Now, that's got to be that's got to be a pretty good number considering how many theaters it's in, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Gone Girl continuing to hang on.
Yeah.
$1.5 million, bringing its total up to $162 million. That's about right, don't you think?
That's a pretty impressive two-month stretch there for Gone Girl.
And then number nine is The Pyramid, which we were just talking about. None of us saw it.
Nope.
What's the idea? It's like you go into a pyramid and you die?
Sure.
Is that?
I think I'd be very happy with that description, Nick. but surprisingly enough, your boy is associated with that movie.
Who?
Mr. Alexandria Aja.
He didn't direct it.
No, he produced it, but his writing partner, Gregory Levasseur, he directed it.
Oh!
He co-wrote Haw Tension and...
Yeah. Didn't he do Maniac? Didn't he direct Maniac?
No. Did he direct Maniac or write it?
I know that Aja wrote it.
Yes, Aja wrote it.
I don't know
if he did Maniac or produced it. No. That there's the guy who did P2.
Oh,
did,
that's right.
Maniac.
Yeah, he did Maniac.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So the Pyramid tanked.
Yeah.
All right. And number 10, Birdman. $1.1 million, bringing its total up to almost $19 million. And again, considering the amount of theaters it's in, it's got to be in a small amount of theaters, correct?
Oh, yeah. It's still under 1,000 theaters, I think. And it's been in the top 10 for a few weeks now. So that's one of the big sort of indie hits of the year.
Yeah.
Birdman.
Deservedly so.
Mm-hmm.
Tremendous movie. Great, great movie. Yeah. So, all right. So it's always the slow time of year. I love the fact that you included the 10 worst reviewed movies of the year so far.
You like that?
Left Behind. I, Frankenstein. Good Lord.
Yeah.
The Legend of Hercules. The Legend of Hercules. Now, that's not The Rock. That's my boy's movie, right?
Right.
That's my boy Rennie Harlan's movie,
Rennie
right?
Harlan.
The Identical?
Yeah.
Ouija. These are, by the way, the worst reviewed movies of the year. The Best of Me. Haunted House 2. Addicted. Vampire Academy. And now, The Pyramid.
Yeah. Oh, all under 10% at Rotten Tomatoes.
Why isn't Kirsten you have to work hard. Christmas on there?
Why is what?
Because it wasn't a wide release.
Comic. Wait, which one?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Kirk Cameron's Saving Christmas.
Oh, Kirk.
Yeah.
Which is number one on IMDb's bottom 100 list.
Is that right?
It is the worst reviewed movie on IMDb.
Now, you've seen it. You've actually seen it.
Yes.
Yeah.
and it does deserve that distinction tenfold.
All right.
It really is the worst excuse for a film I think I've ever seen.
All right, cool. Hang on, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. We got Eric, we got Colin, and then we're going to get to the movie reviews. We're talking about the box office report every Monday morning now. It's movie reviews and box office right here on 720 WGN. Nick DiGilio here. We'll take a quick break. Nick DiGilio here. Hi, everybody. Monday morning movie reviews. Eric and Colin. I'm no longer on Saturday night, so we've moved the movie reviews to Monday morning so that we can combine it with a look at the box office over the weekend and then review the new films. Kind of a slow week, as it always is, following Thanksgiving. And that's been reflected into the box office as well. So we welcome Eric and Colin back. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hey, all right. Colin.
Yeah.
Tell us about Wild.
All right. Well, Wild tells a true story about a woman played by Reese Witherspoon, and she embarks on this 1,100-mile trek on her own with nothing but a giant backpack and all, you know, camping gear and all that. And it's along the Pacific Crest Trail, which I guess would be the West Coast version of, you know, hiking the Appalachian Mountains, only, you know, a little flatter. Anyway, she does this as a sort of catharsis after years of destructive, you know, behavior or self-destructive behavior, which, you know, includes sex and drug addiction. Her mother, played by Laura Dern in the film, has also just died. And her marriage has fallen apart. So the journey she's taking is very much in the same vein as the heroine in Eat, Pray, Love, but not so much in the spiritual sense, but as a means for self-discovery, endurance, and determination. The movie jumps around in time as she sort of relives all these events in her head while she walks this trail, without much in the way of progression. It kind of really bounces around back and forth. So a lot of, you know, the movie is very true to how I think everybody processes, you know, their lives, you know, either not just like, you know, in a situation like this where you're, you know, taking the long trip, but you know, like on your way to work or on a train or something like that, you're just sort of rethinking your lives. It's not very, nobody really thinks from beginning to end of their life. They're just kind of this bouncing around in their heads, just sort of, you know, going from situation to situation, trying to sort of piece it all together, and not always coming up with a conclusion, except that here you are now. And I like that approach to the film. I like, you know, that structure, that sort of, stream of consciousness behind it. I think it's very effective, and never really got on my nerves at all. I was always interested in whatever was being presented at the time, and it always seemed to make sense. Reese Witherspoon, this is, you know, her best performance in a long time. I think she's not just stretching herself physically here, but I think could be turning a corner with her career. Once again, I know she's already won Academy Awards and has given many great performances already, but this feels like, a bit of a turning point for her. Laura Dern is also exceptional in the film. She's not just a background character. She's very much an important part of the story, as much as Reese Witherspoon. I mean, it's as much her movie as well. I think this is a movie that really got to me. I was very touched by it. And, I brought up Eat, Pray, Love, and I meant that only in the story sense. Much better, much richer film than
that.
Should be seen. It's a fine film.
All right, Eric.
Yeah, I think this movie's pretty great, too. And I'm actually glad Colin brought up Eat, Pray, Love, because that's precisely the kind of film that I feared this might have been. It's based on a true story. It's based on a book by this woman, Cheryl Strayed, that was actually an Oprah Book Club recommendation. So, you know, the Eat, Pray, Love crowd, you know, it is sort of who they're going for in a way. But this movie is done in such a way with the flashback. So it's not just a story of a woman who did some bad things and now she's going to reconcile her life by, you know, doing this perilous trek. This is a woman that we learn to empathize with, you know, because while we might not have taken the same path that she did, we can certainly understand the grieving process that she's going to and that she went through and is now processing, processed in a self-destructive way and is now trying to, you know, basically repair herself on what might have been, you know, damaged goods for not just herself, but other people that she affected in that way. Reese Witherspoon is really quite extraordinary in this movie. I think it's one of her best performances, clearly. She's going to be nominated. That's for certain. I love the structure of this movie. It's not just a film about, you know, completing this track or, you know, the perilous stuff along the ways, although there are elements of that. It's a story, you know, just about, you know, just, you know, finding yourself and, you know, repairing, you know, the parts of your life that you wish you could take back, but you can't. I think this is a really terrific movie. One of the best of the year.
Yeah, I think it's great too. And I think Reese Witherspoon is phenomenal in it. I'm going to mention that Nick Hornby wrote the screenplay for this.
And
I think that's pretty significant. I think one of the reasons why the movie works as well as it does and sort of takes off in another direction is because of him. I think Nick Hornby is, you know, you guys, I would think you would agree with me. The guy's a remarkable writer.
Yeah.
Witherspoon is amazing in it. And I'm just a huge fan of Laura Dern all the way across the board. You guys know how I feel about Enlightened.
Yeah.
One of my favorite shows ever. And I think she's remarkable in it. And she's had a really great couple of years doing some really solid work. I feared that this movie, like you guys would say, that Eat, Pray, Love, but I also feared it was going to be like that Sean Penn directed movie.
Oh, Into the Wild?
Yeah. I feared that because that was like that guy, the character that Emile Hirsch played in that movie was incredibly unlikable.
Yeah.
Like, go ahead. Yeah.
Goodbye.
Bye. Yeah. Like, who cares? But there's something really deep about this film, and the structure of it is really, you know, interesting, and it's a very emotional movie. It works on every level it tries to achieve, and it's a terrific movie. Directed by the way, I want to mention he directed Dallas Buyers Club, last year, Jean-Marc Vallée, and really nicely directed as well. And I was a big fan of Dallas Buyers Club. And he brought out, of course, an incredible performance in Matthew McConaughey last year, and he's done the same thing here. I think this guy's a really a strong actor's director. You know, and if you want to do like a showcase, if you want to do like a showcase film, this guy might be the guy to work with. So, yeah, I liked it a lot. All right. So now, is that playing? Is it in wide release or?
No, it only opened in like 5 theaters across the country.
Oh, really?
No, I think like 20 theaters this weekend. It opened like 5 on Wednesday, and it's like, you know, like 20, 21 theaters across the country, and I think 1, maybe 2 theaters here in Chicago.
Okay.
So yeah, it eventually will go wide. It did very well this weekend in limited release. It will go wide. We're in Oscar season now. It's you know, already starting to get, you know, some nominations here and there.
Yeah.
So
and they're obviously,
you'll be able to see it.
They're obviously pushing Reese Witherspoon for Best Actress. There's no question about it.
Yeah, and Laura Dern has a very good shot as well.
Okay, cool.
Right now it's playing at the Landmark Century, the River East, the Evanston, and the Icon.
Okay, so 4 theaters in the city if you want to check it out. That's where it's playing, Wild, with Reese Witherspoon, and Laura Dern. Surprisingly terrific movie. I had really low expectations for this one. I'm not sure why. Why did I think this was going to be bad?
Because, you know, movies about people who take these journeys, and, you know, if you don't connect with that person, you know, there's a movie that's coming out in a few weeks that we're going to talk about that kind of has that problem. But this is a movie that you get to know this person, and I think that's an important part of what makes it work.
Yeah, yeah. It's a terrific movie. Really, really, really good movie, and especially if you're a fan of Reese Witherspoon. And I also think she's great. I mean, we haven't reviewed this movie yet. We'll review it next week, but I also think she's great in Inherent Vice, but that's just me. I know I'm I'm kind of alone in that Inherent Vice world, but I think
I don't know if we are reviewing it next week. At least here in Chicago, I got, and according to the email I got, it comes out in January.
What?
In Chicago.
Yeah, it got pushed back.
It got pushed back just here? Because I thought it was opening on the 12th.
Yeah, in limited release. They made it more limited. So Chicago doesn't get it till January 9th.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's being deprived.
I gotta think after this weekend, I mean, with the box office being the way it is, there's gotta be a lot of studios who are going, man, we could have owned this whole weekend.
I mean,
we got the Exodus movie coming out next week and the Hobbit coming out the week after that. Like, mm-hmm. Exodus could have owned this whole weekend and enjoyed another round of, you know, an extra week's worth of box
office. That's true. Why wouldn't – it's very weird how they didn't open anything this weekend, really. Like, I mean, The Pyramid, that's it?
I mean, I don't think December is the best time to open a horror film or Thanksgiving. Just ask The Mist. But, you know, I think that – you know, I didn't see in a single ad for The Pyramid anywhere.
I saw commercials for it.
Wow.
I did. I saw commercials for it while I was watching wrestling. So that should tell you.
I was just going to say, was it during wrestling?
Yeah, it was.
It wasn't during any of the shows that I was watching.
No. So. It was during wrestling. So that,
okay.
They got their target audience.
Is it a WWE-produced movie by any chance?
It is not. I don't think it is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Seems like it should be, though, right?
It does at this point.
All right, you guys, hang on.
Okay.
Colin and Eric are with me, and we got more movie reviews coming up right here. Every Monday morning, we'll now do the movie reviews right here on 720 WGN. Nick DiGilio here. Hi, everybody. Monday morning movie reviews have gotten kicked off here. Eric Childress, Colin Suter join me, and we welcome them back to the show. Hello, guys.
Hello.
All right, Eric, what have you seen next? Have you seen Bad Hair?
I have not seen Bad Hair.
What have you seen on this list?
What else is on the list?
Panic 5 Bravo.
Oh, God, I've seen that.
All right, let's talk about that. Tell everybody about Panic 5 Bravo.
Okay, Colin, maybe you can help me out and let me know where this is actually playing. But I got a feeling.
This is the first I've even heard of this film. Panic 5
They literally, it's called Panic 5 Bravo. 5, just the number. And this is the writing directorial debut of Kuno Becker, who is the star of Goal and Goal 2, the soccer movies. Okay, so he's taken a leap, and he also stars in this movie. And it's a story of a group of paramedics. It seemed like they get like by five or six paramedics. I don't even remember how many. Uh-huh. In the back of this ambulance, and they go to Mexico on a distress call, and it turns out that someone involved in the ambulance is actually involved in the illegal drug trade. So they get to this distress call, and there are drug dealers or somebody's outside who just keeps banging on the ambulance door trying to get to the patient that they have inside the ambulance who is smuggling some drugs inside of him.
Uh-huh.
So the guy's just outside just banging on the ambulance going, let me in. It's almost like a Big Bad Wolf thing. He just keeps banging on the thing, and someone involved in the ambulance is helping out the drug dealers. So it's like this little Mindhunter-like mystery inside the ambulance while the guy is pounding outside. This is a really stupid movie.
Now, where did you see it, Eric?
I got a screening link for it. They sent me a screening link because they said it was opening in Chicago. The email said they were opening it in Chicago. So
no, it's open. It is at the AMC Showplace Cicero.
Yeah, it's in Cicero.
There you go.
That's the theater. If you want to see it, it's in Cicero. Now, so that's the whole deal. Is a dude banging on the on.
The whole movie is set inside the back of the ambulance. Okay, and it's just these five people, and it's all like there's no light, and it's all baked in red light and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
And someone is just like, you know, I did it for the money. Like, oh, damn you! And bang bang outside, and like, and then everyone, you know, I don't want to give anything away, but it's, oh my god.
Okay,
it's kind of unbearable.
All right, Panic 5 Bravo. At the AMC Showplace Cicero 14, if you're interested in seeing it. So this guy's background, is he a soccer player? Is that?
Well, he played a soccer player. I don't know if he actually was one. I think I tend to think he was one. That's how we got involved with the Goal movies.
Yeah.
By the way,
he was a regular on Dallas.
That's what I'm looking here.
What's going on
here,
man?
The new Dallas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? This is just very weird, man.
It is.
Just very weird. Okay. All right. Well, there you go.
I'm sorry. There's also a Goal 3, if you
Oh, there's a third Goal.
Yeah, that one went straight to video.
Oh, boy. That's too bad.
Yeah. It was Goal Dream Begins, then Goal 2, Living the Dream, and then just Goal 3. Apparently
now,
no dream.
Do we know what bad hair is?
Bad hair is let's play with facets, and that's I think that's actually gotten some acclaim. I'll look that up really quick.
Okay,
it's a story of a young boy who I believe is going through sort of a sexual identity crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, his mother believes he is because he has this obsession with just straightening his curly hair.
Okay,
so his mother believes that he might be going through some sort of kind of a sexual identity crisis.
Okay. Well, actually, this movie is actually getting some critical acclaim.
Yeah.
And it is playing at Facets. Now, what about the tale of the Princess Kaguya?
Kaguya.
Do we know what's going on there?
Colin, have you seen that yet?
I have.
And what'd you think?
I liked it a lot. I think it's from Studio Ghibli.
Oh, good.
But it doesn't have the same look as a regular Studio Ghibli film. It's more sort of a watercolor based look to it.
Okay.
And it's a folk tale. It's a Japanese folk tale. Supposedly one of the most famous, and it has to do with a princess or a girl who is sort of born in a tree. She's found by these two farmers, and she's born in this tree. And they take her and raise her, and she grows pretty rapidly. She ages pretty quickly. Her parents take her to meet all these sort of, you know, higher ups in the social scene, and she becomes this. She instantly becomes a princess, and she has all these, you know, men who want to be, you know, her prince, and she just kind of refuses all of them, and because there's something else about her life that is. I can't really say much because it happens in the third act.
Yeah.
But that's where the movie really takes a really interesting turn, a very tragic turn, when you realize what her deal is.
Yeah.
And what happened and when what has to happen to her. It's a really beautiful film. It's kind of a slow build. It feels pretty conventional for about the first 90 minutes or so. It feels like the kind of story we've seen before. But then I think the last half hour, it really becomes something else and something kind of beautiful, kind of tragic. I don't know if Siskel is showing the dubbed or the subtitled version. I saw the subtitled version. The dubbed version has voices of James Caan, Mary Steenburgen, and Chloe Grace Moretz.
Mm-hmm.
So that's some pretty good voice work right there. I'm sure it's probably fine. Usually the Ghibli movies are usually well dubbed.
Yeah.
So either way, I'd say go see it.
All right. Great stuff. All right, guys. Welcome to Monday mornings.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. We'll do some combination box office and movie reviews. What do we got next week, Eric?
We got Exodus next week. No one here invites, but we got Exodus.
All right. We'll review Exodus next week. Eric, Colin, thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you next week. There you go, Eric and Colin. Movie reviews now on Monday mornings right here on 720 WGN. We'll take a quick break.